everyone. Welcome back to the Earthon Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters with your questers, Josh and Dan. I am Dan.
I am Josh.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things canonical, because it's canon, and optical, but not you, Opti, because we're going to talk about the Eye of Thrall.
Yeah, but before we get into the Eye of Thrall, I wanted to toss something out to our listeners, if I could. Dan and I were talking. We are coming to the end of our sort of current blocks of stuff that we're working on. As of the conclusion of this, we have sort of just two planned episodes. I mean, we've sort of got more, but we've got two episodes that will sort of wrap this up. We've still got the scout to go through in our high circle discipline stuff. And then we've got one more
Secret Society
entry from the Secret Society's book. And that will have covered everything in that. And so we have covered a whole lot of stuff over the past 130 plus episodes.
Yeah.
We're hoping to continue. We want to continue. There is more material that we can go over. But I would like to toss it out to our listeners. Is there anything either that we haven't covered that you would like us to explore in some degree of depth? Or is there something that we have covered in the past that you want us to maybe revisit in some capacity? I'm happy to do that. If you want to expand it, I mean, not to necessarily talk about other games, but to talk a bit more broadly and generally about concepts related to running the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are sorts of things that sometimes come to us in emails, but just in general, like, are there any topics, behind the scenes stuff, ideas, suggestions, things that we might be able to turn into an episode? In terms of stuff that we've still got to go on, we've got a few areas that we can cover geographically in terms in more depth and whatnot.
Yeah.
We've got the horrors book. Yeah, we can like go through the troll moots and the various Aropagoi of the Serpent River.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking about doing a series on the named horrors that are in the original horrors source book.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that there's necessarily a lot of time we're going to be able to necessarily spend on any individual horror. We might find out that it works best for us to do maybe two per episode and maybe pairing them up in a kind of compare and contrast kind of thing. I don't know.
We're banding about.
We're banding about some ideas. But if there are some things that you want to ask, topics that you want us to cover, please send us an email. Let us know. If you are on Twitter, then feel free to respond or to ping me, you know, at me on Twitter. I'm at Lore Merchant, or if you include Earth Dawn somewhere in the post, it will show up in my little custom search that basically notifies me most of the time when somebody has Earth Dawn. So, yeah, absolutely. Let us know if there's more that you would like us to focus on. If anything, well, there's anything
help
in particular.
Steer your show.
Yeah.
It's your show,
because
too.
We'd like to keep doing this, and we're not quite there, but starting to get to the point where
we're scraping bottom.
Yeah, we're running out of published material, and we're not expecting necessarily for this to, like, we don't want to end soon. But we know there is going to come a point, perhaps, where we've kind of said all that there is to say. But obviously, we want to know what you want.
What you want to hear.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. Drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. So this actually might be a quick episode. I love padding the first 5 minutes with asking everybody what they want to hear from us, because by all means, to Josh's point, this is your show, too. Let us know what you want to hear. So on to the Eye of Thrall, which is one of the largest movers and shakers of the secret societies of Barsave. And it's amazing that it's still been able to have been kept secret all this time as to actually who's in charge, because it's led by somebody known as the Senior Gatherer. But that identity hasn't necessarily been divulged yet.
Well, yes, it was, actually. Ah. In the Thrall source book, which was published a couple of years before this was,
yeah,
it was revealed in that book, which is less of a in-character essay the way that this is, it was revealed that Jerol is the senior gatherer for the Eye of Thrall.
Gotcha.
It was revealed in that book. So it is not necessarily a secret to the players or the game masters. It is a secret to the Therans who wrote this report. They don't know who it is.
In fact, even in the essay in the Secret Society's Bar Save about the Eye of Thrall, they discounted that. Yeah, Jerol can't possibly be the senior gatherer. He's as old and infirm.
Yes. Whatever he may have been in the past, he is now nothing more than a jovial, slightly simple-minded old man. The idea that he is the masterwork behind a network as vast and well-oiled as the Eye of Thrall does not warrant serious consideration.
So the smokescreen worked, Jerol. Well done. But after that, there are five major leaders of the Eye of Thrall, operating in many different towns and cities across all of Barsave. Cleotha Splayfoot in Haven, and the four, as the essay says, the other four are not found out. They're not determined, but they operate in Europa, Trevar, Vivain, and Vrontuk. And again, let's back this up real quick. This whole essay takes place before the Theron War and the last 10 years. So,
yeah, the information presented in the Secret Society's book is set between the landing of the Triumph and Prelude to War and the planned Barsave at War, which we time skipped ahead with fourth edition. So there are several things within the essay that we'll be talking about here that if you're in the quote unquote present day of fourth edition will not necessarily be the case.
Yeah, that'll be recent history.
When we were off mic, Dan was saying, well, we've got to do a lot of sort of fourth edition updating here, talking about where things stand. And to be honest, there are numerous things that would have changed based on things that happened, like the agent in Vrontok. Vrontok being the town that was below Skypoint down in Vivain province. There is no longer an agent in Vrontok because basically there is no longer a Vrontok. It got squished by the
city collapsing.
Collapse of the Citadel at the end of the Second Theron War. And so the identity of that agent was never revealed. Whether that agent got out before the thing collapsed or what the things were, we don't know. It's certainly something that I am putting on my mental checklist for the desired, but I have no idea when it will actually happen, sort of revised book exploring Vivain and the surrounding area. It might be that there is still a notable Thrallic agent operating in that area because it is still a place of interest, and having somebody notable down there might be worthwhile. But we haven't even really decided whether Jerol is still in charge of the Eye, whether he is still alive.
Fair.
There is a whole lot of stuff that we haven't really needed to answer in that regard. And so some of the updated fourth edition stuff here is mostly going to be ideas and speculation on my part and will not necessarily in any way reflect the officially published answers that might come out at a later date.
Fair. So we'll backtrack and say it's non-canonical tonight and kind of just go with rumors.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff.
I do want to make it clear that it's possible that the Grand Bazaar book addresses this a little bit. I don't think it's likely. I have not read the manuscript yet.
Fair.
But based on the focus, I don't think it's something that really comes up. And again, changes to stuff, if we haven't had a need to answer it, then there has not really been a decision made yet.
Yeah, kind of left it alone. So the Eye of Thrall, I think, is one of the largest spy networks and or action networks throughout all of Barsafe, because the agents of the Eye are pretty much everywhere. They're in the Thrall army. They're as part of the diplomats. They are hired adventurers working on behalf of the Eye of Thrall. They are just about everywhere. You could turn over a stone and find a member of the Eye of Thrall doing something for its benefit across the entire province. And they, you know,
yeah.
they hire out all the time. So I think it's probably one of the biggest networks we've come across out of any of them.
To a certain extent, that makes sense because the Kingdom of Thrall is the largest population center and the political fulcrum around which the province of Barsafe operates.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that their intelligence network would likewise be the largest. They certainly have the treasury and funding to allow such a thing to happen. There are other information networks that are perhaps as potentially influential. Garlthic's Force of the Eye, for example, although it is a lot more focused on maintaining control of Kratos and whatnot, they do have agents everywhere. We talked about the Lifrock Rebellion. They are an information gathering network as well, but also less of a sort of pure intelligence agency and more of a sort of partisan force.
Yeah.
The Denarastus, the Holders of Trust,
mm-hmm.
their network is pretty heavily focused on Iopos and controlling the people there, but they do have agents in other places. So, you know, you do have other things going on, but the Eye of Thrall is the first entry in the book.
Yes.
Well, no, it's the second one.
Which is why I saved it for second last. Yeah, it's okay.
There is one other. It's the last one that we're going to be talking about here in a couple of weeks. Yes. Saving, in some sense, the best for last. Mm-hmm. But the Eye of Thrall is where it is in the Secret Society's book because of its importance, both in terms of Theron attempts to regain control of Barsafe at the time period that it is set.
Yes.
But also because it is such a significant force. The Lifrock Rebellion was the third entry in the list. We haven't really been going in full reverse order in this.
No.
But
you've jumped around on purpose.
We've been hitting these sort of notable ones a little bit later in the process.
Yeah, I mean, the Eye of Thrall entry in Secret Society's book has mentions about what they've done with the dragons and trying to reget, you know, and trying to reclaim Ardelia and trying to find Ardelia, and then the whole thing at Triumph. And then the Bloodwood, and then Iopos, and the Lifrock Rebellion, and the Houses of the Tuskrang, and so forth. So it's just, they are far-reaching, and they have their finger in pretty much everybody else's little tiny pie across all of Barsafe. So if there was something going on, probably the Eye of Thrall either knew about it, or helped prod it along.
Yeah.
But they also have zero agents in Iopos. Because as to what Josh mentioned, the Holders of Trust pretty much find them and stamp them out, and we do mean kill them, so that they are not operating in Iopos, because that's what an authoritarian regime does, is they don't let infiltrators in.
Yeah. So that's we talked about the Holders of Trust and the very tight control that the Denarastus has over Iopos and their desire to keep foreign influence out of their city. For multiple reasons.
Yes. I mean, the Eye of Thrall has been involved with sending envoys to the Bloodwood, asking to curry favor with Queen Alakia. They've sent liaisons to Trollmoots, trying to gain alliances there as well. And again, this is all pre-war.
Right.
That being said,
the Eye of Thrall, sort of in conjunction with the diplomatic corps of Thrall,
yes.
Which is independent from the Eye, but they work sort of closely together.
Yeah.
The Eye of Thrall are the ones who gather the intelligence and find out who the people and powers that might be receptive to Thrallic envoys in terms of forming alliances and trying to build the force necessary to eventually drive the Therons out of the Triumph and out of Barsafe in general. And so there is sort of a close relationship there. The essay in Secret Societies even does talk about how there are frequently Eye of Thrall agents that are operating as part of the group that travels with the official Thrallic diplomats and whatnot. Yeah. As is sort of common, the privileges that official diplomats have allows intelligence agents to operate within their sphere of protection with a little bit more freedom.
Agreed.
As an example, like, let's talk about Star Wars A New Hope, the sort of opening of that where the princess's ship is being chased boarded by the Star Destroyer and being boarded. And yes, the defense is, we're a diplomatic ship, we're a consular ship.
Mm-hmm.
There are rules by which, of course, Vader's like, yeah, well, tough. When you sort of get to the level of power like that, that they could sort of break those traditions without worrying too much about what the repercussions of that activity might be. But that's the sort of thing that you're talking about. I mean, yes, what was going on in terms of that was there were spies, there were agents that were operating within the potentially protective envelope of the diplomatic mission of Leia's ship.
Yeah. So it's more not the question of what fourth edition update do we have for the Eye of Thrall? It's more the question of how do you not use the Eye of Thrall in your campaign? Because, as I said, they are far reaching, they have their finger in everybody else's pie. So really,
yeah,
it's so easy to use them.
From a certain standpoint, at least in the publications of the late OG FASA era, with secret societies and Crystal Raiders and Carafod and all the things that were sort of going on there in terms of developing information on places that had not seen development yet, but also that were going to be significant in some capacity in the plans for the assault on Triumph and the Second War.
Yeah.
But a lot of that and a lot of the adventure hooks tied into those, many of them relate to Thrall and Thrall's efforts to bring them on board as an ally in the inevitable oncoming war with Thera.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you just go back to the pre-war, you could lace in all kinds of adventures for your adventuring party to do these little tiny missions on behalf of the kingdom or on behalf of the Eye of Thrall. Take your pick to further, you know, the goal of repelling the Therans out. So you've got all this timeline to use.
Oh, yeah. You know, we talked about how the Lifrock Rebellion is a tailor-made group for player characters to be involved with.
Yeah.
The Eye of Thrall is likewise, but it's a little bit more blatantly political. Fair. In a way that the Lifrock Rebellion perhaps isn't quite, because the Lifrock Rebellion is a partisan force that is dedicated to a, at least in this sort of time frame, to a specific goal, and that is the liberation of Iodia.
Yes.
They continued on after that, but are scaling, you know, scaled back there, having mostly achieved their primary objective.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting question and one that deserves exploration. Not that we've explored it yet, but it is one that I think deserves exploration when it comes to the Eye of Thrall, and that is, throughout the first edition material, from the original release of the rulebook and the development of Barsave as a setting and the development of Thrall as the central power and organizing force against Theran incursions and Theran oppression, the Eye of Thrall is acting as an important piece of Thrall's strategy to achieve success. And so within the framework of that storyline of the anti-Theran, let's drive out the colonialist slavers, Thrall is, in a sense, the good guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can maybe take a different approach based on your player character backgrounds and groups, maybe having not quite as fond of a view of Thrall in that regard. Like if you're playing maybe a Carafod centered campaign or any number of other things where you might be allied with powers that might be friendly with Thrall, but don't necessarily have the greatest view of them. I mean, Carafod while they are absolutely against Theron oppression, they are equally against Thrallic oppression.
Yes.
And the idea that Thrall, you know, might exert undue influence on their developing nation. But it's an interesting idea and an interesting thing to perhaps think about and explore if you're playing in the present day. We've got a new royal family on the throne.
Right.
The idealism of the House of Avalis line, which was Varalus and Nedin.
Yeah.
Varalus III and his father and grandfather, who were very closely allied with the dragons and Icewing, and sort of shared that goal of sticking it to the Therons. But we've got a potentially weaker compromise candidate that is now sitting on the throne, one that is perhaps, as I talked about in the GM's guide, a little bit more under the thumb of the more conservative older guard houses. What do the changes in Thrall's internal politics do to the use of the Eye of Thrall as a mechanism for furthering Thrallic aims? That is a huge question that deserves exploring, and we haven't really had any kind of situation or need to explore it broadly. But that's a fascinating question. I mean, in a similar way to how Merux is revealed in the GM's guide as no longer the head master librarian. Of the
Hall of Records. Yeah.
No longer master of the Hall of Records, right? When things were kind of settled out after Nedin's death and whatnot, did Jerol like sort of take that opportunity to step down as well? Is Jerol still alive?
Yeah.
Again, whole bunch of questions that we don't have answers to because we haven't needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, we're getting to the point in fourth edition now where we're going to possibly be looking at revisiting areas that had already seen development. But again, I think taking an approach similar to what the original publications did, which was find a reason within the ongoing story of Barsave to explore an area.
Yeah.
And the themes and ideas and adventures that could possibly derive from that and drive the ongoing story.
Yeah, because the fourth edition areas you've taken a look at are, you know, the Elven Nations, Iopos, there's a Haven. You're working on Europa right now. So
we've got the Trevar book.
The Trevar book, sorry, I looked right at it.
The setting books that we have come up with are ones that are exploring areas that hadn't really seen a focused development yet.
Yeah, you're broadening the map.
Right, but Thrall is huge. We kind of need to figure out what Thrall's role is going to be going forward.
Or Jerol of Thrall's role.
Again, this is just speaking for me as a fan of the setting and whatnot. I don't want to turn Thrall into a villain. No. I want there to be sort of conflict within Thrall because of the conflict that was already sort of present there and how that internal conflict would affect the external story of what's going on in Barsave. I mean, you've still got a significant portion of the population of Thrall that is idealistic and still clings to the ideas and follows the ideas of the Council Compact and the royal family that ruled the kingdom for centuries.
Yeah.
And now you've got a different thing. What is that going to do in terms of the ongoing threats, particularly the Denarastus, to Barsave and the potential ability of people to live freely within that?
Agreed. So yeah, I think it's the whole, what can you not do with the Eye of Thrall right now in your fourth edition game? There's all kinds of things you can do.
If you've got the original book, a lot of the essay for the Eye of Thrall is talking about, here's how we, that is to say Thera, know that they are involved with Bloodwood and Carafod and the dragons and various other spaces. And there is some of it that is speculation and some of it that is correct or maybe incorrect.
Yeah, they're way off on Jerol.
Well... That's one little detail. But
no, no big deal.
The idea is not so much as was the case with some of the earlier societies that we talked about, where the game is going to be focused around the player characters dealing with a threat or a danger, but how this organization could use player characters and different areas that you could tie the Dwarf Kingdom into other stuff that's going on. Do you have a game that's going to be dealing with Carafod with the game at this time? Did you have a group that found the Blades of Carafod and therefore is getting closely connected with the Rising Orc Nation? Well, here are ways that the Eye of Thrall might be involved in that. Or if you want to get your group involved with Carafod because you think it's really cool, here are ways that they might, as allies of Thrall or agents of Thrall, be sent to a location.
Yeah, for reasons X, Y, or Z, send the player characters here on behalf of the Eye of Thrall to accomplish
you know,
GF and Q means.
And one other thing that you could potentially do with the Eye, especially if you're looking at early stages of a campaign where the characters are lower circle and whatnot, is they might not realize that they are working for the Eye initially. That the Eye is not just going to openly hire rookies, in a sense. They are going to maybe task them with some low risk, I won't necessarily say low risk, but low priority or lower
impact
kind of abilities to vet their loyalties, to figure out where they stand and what their motivations and goals are.
Can we trust them to do something more important later on?
Right. Yeah. So there's that possibility. And then, of course, as characters gain more power and gain more fame and notoriety, they may be more openly courted by the Eye, because if you can get powerful individuals like that on your side, that's a win. Then they're not necessarily working for the enemy, for the rival, for your
antagonist. Well, yeah, it's also good PR. If you're going to use that for PR as well, to say, hey, not only do we have this agent, but he's, you know, openly on our side as well.
Yeah, but not necessarily
the right thing.
The Eye of Thrall would be the ones that would recruit people, but your adventuring group would not necessarily be known that they work for the Eye of Thrall, just that they work for the kingdom.
Yes.
The Eye would be sort of the organization that acts as a liaison between the kingdom and the freelancers that are typical player characters.
Yes.
As opposed to, say, official enlistees of the Arm of Thrall, which is the army and the navy of Thrall, where they would have an actual hierarchy and chain of command that they would need to follow.
Yes. And the political
Eye of Thrall would be looking for their spec ops teams, their freelancers, their mercenaries, their independent folk. Keeping tabs on them, but also finding ways to make them friendly with the kingdom.
Yes. Because if you screw up, we can disavow you.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, up to a certain point. Absolutely.
Because no, the Kingdom of Thrall has political affiliations. The Eye of Thrall works on behalf of the Kingdom of Thrall, but they're, as you said, two different entities, and that needs to be kept separate on purpose. Because if you are working as part of the army or as part of the navy, you have the political affiliation that eventually you do report to the king. If you're in the Eye of Thrall, you just kind of report to that network of people. And so if you're tested out and, hey, kid, you did good in this one, we'll give you more responsibilities later on. Try that out. So I think you can have a hard time, again, not finding some way to incorporate the Eye of Thrall with your player characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Depending on the type of game you're running, especially if you're doing sort of a more present day bar save.
Yeah.
You could have a group of Thrallic agents that are rivals, whether your group works with the Eye or not. You know, you could have a friendly rivalry with another group of agents, or if you've got a game where you are less politically tied to Thrall.
Yeah.
They could end up being rivals, in a sense, if you've got a group that is working on behalf of one of the other powers, maybe that they are working for Trevar as guardians or agents of the council there, or Europa, or Jerris, or Carafad, any number of other places that might be a little bit leery in some sense of the current status of the kingdom and how they might approach things.
So anything about the Aya we haven't covered? Because we've kind of hit the rumor mill and the suppositions of how you possibly could use them, and, you know, kind of did an update on the eras and the fourth edition, kind of where it stands now.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like I said, the essay goes into, here's what we, the Therans, know about their associations with the Lifrock Rebellion and the Great Dragons and their attempts at infiltrating Iopos and their association with House Vestrimmon.
And the courting of the Bloodwood.
Yeah, and these various other things that are going on. There's a lot of this entry that is setting up the situation that's going on as we, the publishers, the writers, prepare for the next sort of big step in the campaign story that is Barsave. Similar to the Lifrock Rebellion and similar to the Dragon's Network, the last one that we'll be talking about here in a couple of weeks, this is not one where we are presenting you with an organization that you can use as sort of the big bad of your campaign.
Yeah, no antagonist
or here. The focus of a campaign arc. This is setting up the future story developments and how you can perhaps have your players already be connected to and involved in that.
So yeah, if you're out of ideas, send the Eye of Thrall to hire your player characters to do something. Straight out, cash, responsibility, go.
Yeah. Like with the Lifrock Rebellion, it's fairly easy to have a game where this can provide a structure. Like if you have a episodic Mission Impossible or Charlie's Angels kind of thing where your player character group is a team that works on behalf of this agency, gets assigned the missions where they are sort of the deniable assets or doing things, but always kind of keep in mind that anything that they do in conjunction with the Eye of Thrall is ultimately going to be in favor or in pursuit of Thrall's larger goals. And like with any of the other sort of intelligence networks that work on behalf of various powers here, they could show up to complicate matters in other ways as well. Particularly if you're dealing with stuff that might have some kind of political ramifications.
Yeah.
The Eye of Thrall is likely to have some kind of interest in it because Thrall is involved in so many things, even if not so much from a political standpoint, but from a mercantile standpoint. Thrall still has a lot of interest in maintaining a certain extent of safety of their merchant networks, the merchant houses and noble houses that conduct trade throughout the province. They're still doing that. And so those noble houses and their courtiers and stuff are going to be leveraging their connections and pushing the crown to take actions that benefit them as well, which the kingdom would then use the eye to further those ends. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do, even if you're not necessarily getting into a super heavy politically focused game. Politics is the way that people decide how to distribute resources.
Yeah.
In one sense. And so the kingdom is going to be interested in stuff that may affect the bottom lines of the kingdom and the noble houses and the citizenry thereof.
Well said, sir. So I think if you haven't figured out how to use the Eye of Thrall by the end of this episode, you're not trying hard enough, because we've laid out a bunch of ideas for you and ways that they can be used no matter the era that you are playing in. Anything from when the Triumph landed to current 4th edition timeline, you got a good 10 years. You can use the Eye of Thrall anywhere in there because they are very, very active. So on behalf of Josh and myself, we thank you for your time. Until next time, I think it's time for you to go keep an eye on your legend.
Good night, everybody.